A very good morning on behalf of Teach 613. We welcome you to Take 10 for Talmud. Nedarim Chav Ches. Nedarim 28a, pagination is 55. We start on the facing page, three lines from the bottom, Masnisin at a new Mishnah. In order to appreciate this Mishnah, which will tell us that at times a person might make a vow to affirm something which is his way of avoiding ruthless people, thieves, evil people, different situations. And the Mishnah is going to tell us that such a vow is not binding and it's considered ones, coercion, something beyond his control. We need to take a step back into the basic concept of honesty and appreciate that as much as we emphasize honesty and Chosamo Shal HaKadosh Baruch Hu Emes, God wants truth in this world, there are extreme examples where a person might be confronted by evil and might be required to use creativity to avoid the evil people and the terrible things that they want to do. The classic example of this in the world of ethics is if a Nazi were to ask a person, "Are you Jewish?" The person would not be advised to answer straightforward, "Yes, I am Jewish." We would actually recommend that the person avoid the question in some way that does not incriminate themselves in the eyes of this evil person. Likewise, if the Nazi were to ask, "Where are the Jews hiding?" the person would be allowed to answer, "I don't know," even though he does. To the point that our Mishnah is going to entertain the possibility that a person actually makes a vow to the effect that he doesn't know. And that vow, if it's necessary for him to make that, to affirm this, to get himself off the hook so that he doesn't endanger the lives of innocent people, that vow is considered coerced. It's considered ones, and it is not going to be binding. If the person would say, "All fruit shall be forbidden to me if I know this information that you're demanding of me," and he does know the information, nevertheless, the fruit of the world will not be forbidden to him. And that's because it's classified as Nidrei Onsin. The Mishnah extends this idea to cases where, according to the Mishnah's understanding, the pressure that the person is under and caused him to make the vow is so extreme and so unjustified that we classify the vow as ones. The Mishnah says, "Nodrin lahargin," a person might make a neder, a vow, to people who kill, meaning robbers who kill, "Valacharamim," or to robbers who simply take the money, but they wipe the person clean, they steal from him, even if they don't kill him. "Ula muhsin," and even to a tax collector, as the Gemara will explain, refers to a tax collector that has no scruples, has no limits, has no guidelines. He just takes in the name of taxes. A person sets up a booth, and he roughs people up if they don't pay. Nothing to do with the kingdom, nothing to do with public taxation in order to provide services, nothing to do with anything that we know as law and order. Just a person who's collecting taxes. knocks on your door, or you pass him by, and he says, in order for me to let you pass, pay me so-and-so, such and such a money. So a person might make a vow, says the Mishnah, shehi teruma, that the produce that he's carrying is the tithe that only goes to the Kohen. Afal pi she'eino teruma, even though it's not teruma, but he knows that if they are Jewish thieves, they don't have much use for teruma, because even though they steal, but they still keep kosher. How fascinating. They steal, but they still keep kosher, so if he affirms that it's teruma, they will leave him alone. Or, Shehein shel beis hamelech. He says back to whoever's trying to coerce him to give the money, whoever's trying to extort the money from him, he says, what are you talking about? The stuff that I'm carrying belongs to the king. And he affirms it through a vow that something should become forbidden to him if it's not true. Afal pi she'einan shel beis hamelech, even though it's not true, it doesn't belong to the king. But it's a quick way to instill fear in a phony tax collector by telling him, you think you're the tax collector, I'm telling you I'm carrying stuff that belongs to the king. And these methodologies in these very unusual cases would be examples of vows that are not binding. They're considered in the classification that we saw in the beginning of our perek of Nidrei Onsin. The Gemara, of course, needs to explore this concept of taxation, because at first glance, there's something very troubling. At first glance, without the explanation that we gave that it's a phony tax collector, the Mishnah seems to be saying that you're allowed to evade taxes and even make a vow that won't be binding. Asks the Gemara on the eighth line, V'ha'omar Shmuel, we have a famous ruling from Shmuel that is binding, that dina d'malchusa dina, whatever the laws of the kingdom are the law, and you have to keep them. And there's no way that our Mishnah would condone, would allow you to make a vow and say it's not binding to avoid tax collection. Doesn't make any sense. Now, there could be discussion of how far Dina de Malchusa Dina goes. Certainly, if the government makes a legislation against Torah and mitzvahs, it's not going to be binding. This is primarily referring to cases of financial import, where there's a reasonable taxation and people are paying it. You're obligated by religious law to pay that secular tax as well. If you had a government that legislated things that are total extortion, like Nazi regime divesting Jews of their property, that would be a whole different thing. Likewise, if you have a government like the Syrian Greek government in the time of the Hashmonaim, the Maccabees, the story of Hanukkah, so certainly such legislation against the observance of Shabbos is not in the rule of Dina de Malchusa Dina, that you have to keep whatever they say. That's not true. But Shmuel ruled in the case of taxation that we're obligated, and the Mishnah therefore needs explanation, because we considered Shmuel's statement as a basic fundamental of Jewish law, of Jewish tradition. And what exactly is the Mishnah referring to when it says you can avoid the tax collector? Amar Rav Chinana, Amar Rav Kana, Amar Shmuel. The Gemara answers, as we mentioned when we said the Mishnah, B'muchas she'ein lo kitzva, a taxation that has no limit, has no guidelines. It's not a percentage, it's not a per head. It's a discretion of the person. He's just taxing people in order to generate money without any guidelines, without law and order. That's really the key. Devei Rabbi Yanai Amar B'muchas ha'omed me'ei lov. The Beis Medrash of Rabbi Yannai, they gave another example, apparently based on their experiences, a tax collector that sets up shop without authorization from the kingdom. He's just collecting taxes. It's basically a form of bullying people into giving him money. And in such cases, the Mishnah was describing that a person might use a neder in order to avoid such extortion. And the Mishnah is ruling that that's considered an ones, that's considered undue pressure. A person wants to take away someone else's livelihood, that's considered undue pressure, and such a neder would not be binding. Yashikoach, thank you for joining.